بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so we're on the chapter now which is Dua al-Qunut fi Salat al-Witr. The Qunut Dua in the Witr prayer. Al-Hadithu huna an Dua al-Qunut fi Salat al-Witr. Fafi Abi Dawood wa al-Nasai wa ghayrihima an al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma qal. So the hadith that is going to be mentioned here, or the speech or the topic that we are on here, is regarding dua al-qunut in the witr prayer. So in the sunan of Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and other than them, from Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiyallahu anhuma qal, علمني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمات أقولهن في الوتر. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught me some words to say in the witr. اللهم اهدني في من هديت وعافني في من عافيت وتولني في من توليت وبارك لي فيما أعطيت وقني شر ما قضيت إنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. That dua, you will have heard it a lot during Ramadan in the witr prayers at the end. We'll go through the meanings in a moment now. وهذا دعاء عظيم. This is a tremendous dua. على مشتمل على مطالب جليلة ومقاصد عظيمة. This particular dua, the Sheikh says, incorporates lofty goals and great points and benefits within it. ففيه سؤال الله الهداية والعافية. So within this dua, as we'll come to see, you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance and for goodness in your affairs. والتولي والبركة والوقاية, and for protection and blessing from Allah. مع الإقرار بأن الأمور كلها بيده وتحت تدبيره. Along with acknowledging in this dua that all of the affairs are under the control of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, and that Allah is the disposer of all affairs. فَمَا شَاءَ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. So whatever Allah wills, then it occurs. And whatever He does not will, then it will not occur. It does not occur. So the meanings of this dua then, when you hear the Imam recite it, it will be in the plural form. اللهم اهدينا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت. It is always in the plural as you hear it, because the Imam, when he says this dua in the congregation, when he's leading them, he's supposed to do it in the plural form to incorporate himself and all of the congregation behind him. So what is the meaning of it? Firstly, you say, Allahumma hdini fi man hadayt. In this section, you are asking Allah for guidance. Allahumma ihdini. Oh Allah, guide me. Fihi su'alullah al-hidayah at-tamma al-nafi'a al-jami'a li'ilm al-abdi bil-haqqi wa 'amalihi bih. You are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for complete and beneficial and comprehensive guidance. Complete and beneficial and comprehensive guidance. لعلم العبد بالحق وعمله به. For the knowledge of the servant upon the truth and his action to be upon it. فليست الهداية أن يعلم العبد الحق بالعمل به. So guidance is not just knowing it without acting upon it. Rather, you are asking Allah for the complete and beneficial and comprehensive guidance to be upon knowledge regarding that and to act upon that. فليست الهداية أن يعلم العبد الحق بالعمل به. Guidance is not just that a person, a servant, knows the truth, but doesn't act upon it. وَلَيْسَتْ كَذَٰلِكَ أَنْ يَعْمَلَ بِلَا عِلْمٍ نَافِعٍ يَهْتَدِي بِهِ. And the opposite too. It is not just that a person acts without knowledge, that a person acts without knowing how to act and how to do that, without having the beneficial knowledge. فَالْهِدَايَةَ النَّافِعَ هِيَ التَّوْفِيقُ لِلْعِلْمِ النَّافِعِ وَالْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ. So the beneficial guidance that you're making dua for, اللهم اهدني في من هديت, guide me, O Allah, that beneficial guidance you are asking for, it is the guidance to the beneficial knowledge and the righteous actions upon it. And that is how it is, beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Those are the two aspects, beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. قوله في من هديت. What is the meaning of في من هديت? Allah guide me في من هديت. أحدها أنه سؤال له أن يدخله أو يدخله في جملة المهديين وزمرتهم ورفقتهم وحسن أولئك رفيقا. Oh Allah, guide me, fi man hadayt, as those are whom you guided. Guide me as those others you guided. That is, asking Allah to guide you along with others who have been guided, to put you into that same category as the guided ones. And how good they are as company. If you can be amongst the guided, the rightly guided, so you're asking Allah, O Allah, guide me along with those whom you guided. Put me alongside them, with them, to be with the guided ones. And secondly, أَنَّ فِيهِ تَوَسُّلًا إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانِهِ وَإِنْعَامِهِ. أي, يَا رَبْ, قَدْ هَدَيْتَ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ بَشَرًا كَثِيرًا فَضْلًا مِنْكَ وَإِحْسَانًا فَأَحْسِنْ إِلَيَّ كَمَا أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَاهْدِنِي كَمَا هَدَيْتَهُمْ. Secondly, you are seeking a means to Allah through that goodness and blessing that he has bestowed upon others already. It is as though you are saying, O my Lord, You have already guided many from your creation by your virtue and your goodness and kindness to them. So guide me also as you guided them. Guide me also by your favor and virtue as you guided many others already. That is the second point of saying, Fi man hadait. Guide me, O Allah, as those others you have guided, like the ones you guided. Thirdly, أَنَّمَا حَصَلَ لِأُولَٰئِكَ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْهُمْ وَلَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَإِنَّمَا كَانَ مِنْكَ فَأَنْتَ الَّذِي هَدَيْتَهُمْ. You are also therefore acknowledging that all these others who have been guided, they were not guided by themselves, but they were guided by you, O Allah. So just as you guided them, guide me. It is not like they guided themselves or that I can guide myself. You guided them, so just as you guided them, guide me. Then you say, وَعَافِنِي فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتْ. The same style again. So the first thing you're asking for in that dua of witr is guidance. That Allah guides you to the haqq, to that beneficial knowledge, and to the righteous actions. Secondly then, وَعَافِنِي فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتْ. فيه سؤال الله العافية المطلقة وهي العافية من الكفر والفسوق والعصيان والغفلة والأمراض والأسقام والفتن وفعل ما لا يحبه وترك ما يحبه. You are asking Allah for عافية, and you remember earlier on we spoke about عافية in one of the previous du'as. Afia is asking Allah for the goodness in the affairs and to protect you from the evils of the affairs, whether it is goodness in your health or goodness in your wealth or other affairs. You're asking Allah for safety and soundness, al-afia, from all of the affairs. So here it is a general questioning of Allah, a general request that Allah gives you that overall afiyah, that safety and soundness and goodness from all the affairs, from kufr, that Allah protects you from kufr, and from fisq, from the sinning and transgression, from the negligence, from illnesses, bodily illnesses, and trials and tribulations. You're asking Allah to give you afia, to protect you and give you soundness and safety from all of those affairs that are disliked, as well as from ever committing that which Allah does not love. Asking Allah to protect you and give you safety and soundness from ever falling into that which Allah dislikes, that which Allah does not love, or to abandon that which Allah does love. فَهَذِهِ حَقِيقَةُ الْعَافِيَةِ. That is the reality of al-afiyah, safety and soundness from all of the affairs and protection from Allah. ولهذا ما سئل الرب شيئا أحب إليه من العافية. And that is why there is nothing that Allah is asked for greater than this affair of العافية, this safety and soundness in all the affairs. لأنها كلمة جامعة للتخلص من الشر كله وأسبابه. Because it is a comprehensive term, a comprehensive word, al-afiyah, which incorporates all of the affairs to protecting you from the evil and the means to evil. It is a comprehensive word in protection from all of that which is evil, in keeping you safe and sound from all of that which is evil and the means to it. وَمِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَى هَذَا مَا رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِيُّ فِي الْأَدَبِ الْمُفْرَدِ وَغَيْرُهُ عَنْ شَكْلِ إِبْنْ حُمَيْدٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ. So there is a hadith regarding this. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The narrator says, the companion, he says, I said, O Messenger of Allah, عَلِّمْنِي دُعَاءً أَنْتَفِعُ بِهِ. Teach me a dua that I can benefit from. قال. So the messenger said to him, قُلْ. Say, اللَّهُمَّ عَافِنِي مِنْ شَرِّ سَمْعِي وَبَصَرِي وَلِسَانِي وَقَلْبِي وَشَرِّ مني. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam then said to him to make the dua, O Allah, protect me or give me safety and soundness. Afini, protect me and give me safety and soundness from the evil of my hearing, from the hearing of evil, and from the seeing of evil, and from the evil of my tongue, and the evil of my heart. Protect me and give me safety and soundness from all that. وَشَرِّ مَنِّيِّ. And from the evil of my objectives. Perhaps this is in reference to your objectives or your intentions and your desires, to protect you from all of the evil from the different affairs of that nature. فهي دعوة جامعة وشاملة للوقاية من الشرور كلها في الدنيا والآخرة. So this is a comprehensive dua that is a protection from all of the evils of this dunya and of the afterlife. وَفِي الْأَدَبِ الْمُفْرَدِ وَغَيْرِهِ عَنِ الْعَبَّاسِ عَمِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَّهُ قَالَ. So there is a narration from Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Al-Abbas, he said, O Messenger of Allah, عَلِّمْنِي شَيْئًا أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ بِهِ. Teach me something that I can ask Allah with. فقال يا عباس. He said, O Abbas, سَلِ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for al-'afiyah, for that protection and soundness and safety from all of the affairs. ثُمَّ مَكَثْتُ قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ جِئْتُ فَقُلْتُ. Abbas then says, I stayed for a while, and then I came and said, عَلِّمْنِي شَيْئًا أَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ بِهِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Again he said, teach me, O Messenger, something I can make dua to Allah with. فَقَالْ. So the Messenger said, يَا عَبَّاسْ يَا عَمَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. O Abbas, O uncle of the Messenger of Allah, سَلِ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for safety and soundness, al-'afiyah, for protection from the evils in this world and the afterlife. So that is the second thing in that dua. عَافِنَا فِي مَنْ عَافَيْتُ عَافِنِي فِيمَنْ عَافَيْتْ. The third thing, وَتَوَلَّنَا فِيمَنْ تَوَلَّيْتْ, or in the singular, وَتَوَلَّنِي فِيمَنْ تَوَلَّيْتْ. فِيهِ سُؤَالُ اللَّهِ التَّوَلِّي الْكَامِلِ الَّذِي يَقْتَضِي التَّوْفِيقَ وَالْإِعَانَ وَالنَّصْرَ وَالتَّسْدِيدَ وَالْإِبْعَادِ عَنْ كُلِّ مَا يُغْضِبُ اللَّهِ. التولي تولني في من توليت means be my protector. That, oh Allah, protect me as those others you have protected. Safeguard me and protect me. Be my wali. Tawalli. Tawallana. Or tawallani. Fi man tawallait. Be my wali. My protector. My guardian. And that is that Allah aids you and gives you success in your affairs and gives you victory in your affairs and makes you upright and distances you from that which angers Allah. In the Quran in Baqarah where it mentions, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the wali of those who have iman. Allah is the protector of those who have iman. He extracts them from the darkness and puts them into light. Extracts them from the darkness and puts them into light. And inna waliyya Allah alladhi nazzala al-kitab wa huwa yatawalla salihin. That indeed my wali, waliyya Allah, my wali is Allah, the one who revealed the book, and he is the one who is the wali of the righteous, protects and safeguards the righteous. In another ayah, wallahu waliyyul mu'mineen, Allah is the wali of the believers. And another ayah, wallahu waliyyul muttaqeen, Allah is the wali of the pious. Wa hiya wilaya khassa bihim taqtadi حفظهم ونصرهم وتأييدهم ومعونتهم ووقايتهم من الشرور. This is a specific wilaya, a specific protection and guardianship from Allah for the believers, which necessitates that Allah safeguards them and aids them and supports them and protects them from the evils. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى هَذَا قَوْلُهُ فِي هَذَا الدُّعَى. And this is indicated by his statement in the dua, إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتْ. That the one who you safeguard cannot be degraded. أَنَّهُ مَنْصُورٌ عَزِيزٌ غَالِبٌ بِسَبَبِ تَوَلِّيكَ لَهُ. That the one whom you protect and safeguard will always be upon that honor and dignity and supremacy. He will not be the one who is overrun by others. He will not be degraded. He will not be inferior if he is under your protection. وَفِي هَذَا تَنْبِيهٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ حَصَرَ لَهُ ذُلْ فِي النَّاسِ فَهُوَ بِنُقْصَانِ مَا فَاتَهُ مِنْ تَوَلِّي اللَّهِ. This indicates that a person who is degraded or disgraced amongst the people, it is because he lacks the protection of Allah. He is lacking that protection from Allah. وَإِلَّا فَمَعَ الْوِلَايَةِ الْكَامِلَةِ يَنْتَفِي الذُّلْ كُلُّهُ. Because otherwise, if you have that complete protection from Allah, then it removes any type of degradation that could occur. وَلَوْ صَلَّطَ عَلَيْهِ مَنْ فِي أَقْطَارِ الْأَرْضِ فَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ غَيْرُ الذَّلِيلِ. Even if whoever comes from all around the world, any land, any area of the world, to overcome you, you are still honorable and you are not disgraced if you have the protection of Allah. So, وَتَوَلَّنِي أَوْ تَوَلَّنَا فِي مَنْ تَوَلَّيْتْ. Then the fourth thing after that, وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيمَا أَعْطَيْتْ. But, O Allah, bless me in that which you have given me. Bless me in what you have given me. الْبَرَكَ هِيَ الْخَيْرُ الْكَثِيرُ الثَّابِتْ. Blessing, baraka, is that goodness, that you are given goodness in your affairs. فَفِي هَذَا سُؤَالُ اللَّهِ الْبَرَكَةِ فِي كُلِّ مَا أَعْطَاهُ مِنْ عِلْمٍ أَوْ مَالٍ أَوْ وَلَدٍ أَوْ مَسْكَنٍ أَوْ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. So you're asking Allah for barakah, for that blessing and that goodness in everything Allah has given you, in terms of your knowledge you've been given, the wealth you've been given, the children you've been given, the properties, homes you've been given, and other than that. بِأَنْ يُثَبِّتَهُ لَهُ وَيُوَسِّعَ لَهُ فِيهِ. Asking for barakah is that Allah maintains that blessing for you and increases that blessing for you. That is barakah, that your blessing is maintained and established and increases, becomes even more. وَيَحْفَظُهُ وَيَسْلَمَهُ مِنَ الْآفَاتِ. And that Allah protects it and saves it from the calamities that may occur otherwise. Then, وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتِ. Protect me from the evil that you have decreed. Protect me from the evil that you have decreed. أي شر الذي قضيته فإن الله تعالى قد يقضي بشر الحكمة بالغة. Because Allah may decree for some evil to occur, for some great wisdom behind that. والشر واقع في بعض مخلوقاته لا في خلقه وفعله. And that evil occurs within some of the creation. Not that Allah is attributed with the evil, but that the evil occurs within His creation. The creation then have that evil that emanates from them. Not that we attribute the evil to Allah. فَإِنَّ فِعْلَهُ وَخَلْقَهُ خَيْرٌ كُلُّهُ. All of Allah's creation and everything Allah does is goodness. So we don't attribute evil to Allah. The evil is within that creation then that it occurs, for some wisdom behind that. وَهَذَا الدُّعَاءُ يَتَضَمَّنُ سُؤَالُ اللَّهِ الْوِقَايَ مِنَ الشُّرُورِ وَالسَّلَامَ مِنَ الْآفَاتِ وَالْحِفَظُ عَنِ الْبَلَايَ وَالْفِتَنِ. So this dua, it incorporates questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him for protection from the evils and protection from the calamities and trials that occur. Then you say, إِنَّكَ تَقَضِي وَلَا يُقَضَى عَلَيْكَ. That you are the one who decrees the affairs and judges, and you are not the one who is decreed upon or the judgment is made upon. You are not the one who it is done upon. You are the one who does that. فِيهِ التَّوَسُّلُ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ بِأَنَّهُ يَقَضِي عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. This is seeking the means to your dua being answered by affirming this to Allah, that Allah is the one in the control of the affairs, and He is the one who decrees the affairs. لِأَنَّ لَهُ الْحُكْمَ التَّامِ وَالْمَشِيئَةَ النَّافِذَةِ وَالْقُدْرَةَ الشَّامِلَةِ. Because Allah is the one who has the absolute control and judgment and will that is implemented and actualized, the absolute comprehensive ability over all affairs. فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ يَقْضِي فِي عِبَادِهِ بِمَا يَشَاءُ وَيَحْكُمُ فِيهِمْ بِمَا يُرِيدُ. So He is the one who judges between His servants as He wills, and He is the one who rules between them as He wishes. لا راد لحكمه ولا معقب لقضائه. Nobody can rebuke or rebut or repel His decree or somehow rebuke or repel, to somehow repel that decree or repel that judgment or repel that ruling or to somehow add or detract something from it. So that's when you say, وَلَا يُقَضَى عَلَيْكَ. إِنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا يُقَضَى عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٍ أَوْ لَا يَقْضِي عَلَيْهِ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ بِشَيْءٍ. فَالْعِبَادِ لَا يَحْكُمُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بَلِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ الَّذِي يَحْكُمُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمَا يَشَاءُ وَيَقْضِي فِيهِمْ بِمَا يُرِيدُ. So Allah is the one who judges and rules between the people. No one judges or rules upon Allah. Then you say, إِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلُّ مَنْ وَالَيْتُ وَلَا يَعِزُّ مَنْ عَادَيْتُ. That the one who you protect and you're in his guardianship, then that individual can never be degraded. And the one who you have enmity against can never be honored. هذا كالتعليل لما سبق في قوله وتولني في من توليت. So this is now the reasoning behind the previous dua, Allah protect me, be my wali as you are for those others. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ إِذَا تَوَلَّ الْعَبْدَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَذِلْ. Because if Allah protects a servant, that servant will never be disgraced. وَإِذَا عَادَ الْعَبْدَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا عِزْ. And if Allah has enmity against a servant, that person will never be honorable then. وَالْوِقَايَةُ مِنَ الذُّلْ إِلَّا مِنْهُ. And that type of person then will never have protection from that degradation except through Allah. As it is mentioned in Ali Imran, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That section there, وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You honor whom you will and you degrade whom you will. So the one whom Allah honors, nobody can disgrace. And the one whom Allah disgraces, then nobody can honor. وَقَوْلُ تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَالَيْتَ. At the end then you say, تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَالَيْتَ. تَبَارَكْتَ أَيْ تَعَاظَمْتَ. That you are the great. تَبَارَكْتَ. You are the great. فَلَكَ الْعَظَمَ الْكَامِلَ وَالْكِبْرِيَاءَ التَّامِ. So you have that absolute greatness, the complete greatness, tabarakta. And you have that absolute greatness is the word in English, the closest to it. That greatness, that power, that authority. You are the one who has that in perfection. وَعَظُمَتْ أَوْسَافُكَ. And your attributes are tremendous and great. وَكَثُرَتْ خَيْرَاتُكَ. And the goodness from you is a great amount. وَعَمَّ إِحْسَانُكَ. And your generosity and kindness is widespread. And then at the end, وَتَعَالَيْتَ. تَبَارَكْتَ رَبَّنَا وَتَعَالَيْتَ. أي أَنَّ لَكَ الْعُلُوْ الْمُطْلَقْ. تَعَالَيْتَ. That you are the most high. You are the most high. You are the one with that highness. Highness in your authority and ability over all of the creation, and highness in your essence. فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ الْعَلِيُّ بِذَاتِهِ. He is the most high in his essence. He is above. قَدْ اسْتَوَى عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ اسْتِوَاءً يَلِيقُ بِجَلَالِهِ وَكَمَالِهِ. He is above his throne. He rose above his throne as is befitting of his majesty. وَالْعَلِيُّ بِقَدْرِهِ. And he is the most high in his status. وَهُوَ عُلُوُّ صِفَاتِهِ وَعَظَمَتُهَا. And that is the highness of his attributes and the greatness of them. فَإِنَّ صِفَاتِهِ عَظِيمًا. For indeed his attributes are tremendous and great. لَا يُمَاثِلُهَا وَلَا يُقَارِبُهَا صِفَةُ أَحَدٍ. There is no attribute of anyone that is comparable or similar to Allah. وَالْعَلِيُّ بِقَهْرِهِ حَيْثُ قَهَرَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. قَهَرَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And he is the most high in his authority, that he is in authority over everything. وَدَانَتْ لَهُ الْكَائِنَاتُ بِأَصْرِهَا. And all of the creation, they are in subservience to him. فَجَمِيعُ الْخَلْقِ نَوَاصِيهِمْ بِيَدِهِ. فَلَا يَتَحَرَّكُ مِنْهُمْ مُتَحَرِّكٌ وَلَا يَسْكُنُ سَاكِنٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. So everything is under the control of Allah. No one moves, no creation moves, nothing occurs except by that permission of Allah. وَعَلَى كُلٍ فَهَذَا دُعَاءٌ عَظِيمٌ جَامِعٌ لِأَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ وَأُصُولِ السَّعَادَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. So this is a comprehensive dua for happiness in this world and in the afterlife. فَعَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَعْتَنِيَ بِهِ فِي هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ صلاة الوتر التي يختم بها صلاة الليل. So the Muslim should take care and give importance to this particular dua in the witr, that final prayer that you pray at the night. ولا بأس لو زاد المسلم على ذلك دعاء لعموم المؤمنين بما استطاع من خير. And there's no problem in adding extra to that dua. You can add a little extra for dua for the Muslims, etc. Wal istighfara lahum, and seeking forgiveness for them. Wa dua ala a'da'ihim, making dua against their enemies. It is permissible. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, and to send the salutations and prayers upon the messenger. It is permissible to add some extra onto it. But what is not allowed, as the scholars say, is to extend it beyond what is reasonable and to add a huge amount onto it. But adding a little bit onto it with some extra is permissible. That is the end of that section. We'll leave it at that section. We'll start the new section next time, which is istikhara. And that is something which most people, or many people, would need to know about as well, about the istikhara. How do you pray istikhara for something? And what are the meanings of the dua of istikhara? How is it prayed? When is it prayed? What are the signs that your dua has been answered? How do you know if your istikhara has been answered and what you should do now? So, the issue of al-istikhara, that's what we'll look at next time, insha'Allah ta'ala. Any questions up to there? Yeah, this is, it's only on the dua part you're supposed to say Ameen. On the dua parts. The other parts are not dua. The other parts are then the praise of Allah, they are statements. Your Ameen is upon the dua sections. That's where the Ameen should be.
How long has this been going on?
This for a long time. This is now the second volume. We've finished a volume like that before.
How
many lessons after? There'll be a few more yet, inshallah. That's possible. That is possible. When you make a statement of praise to Allah, that you actually say that statement. But here, in this section, not necessarily. You don't need to say it here, behind the imam. It's not like that. Some of the others are actual commands. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْعَلَىٰ, etc.
Is this purely dua that's established in the sunnah, or are there many?
This is the main one. There are a couple of other versions of this as well that you can read for the witr dua. But this is the main established, authentic dua. And even this one has some slight variations that are authentic as well. But if a person memorizes this, it's the comprehensive dua that you can recite.
Another question I have. Sometimes when we pray in a prayer, someone will say, Ya Allah, after the imam says praises of Allah. Is that...
Just Ya Allah?
Yeah, just say Ya Allah.
Just Ya Allah.
Yeah. No, I'm not... I don't know if you've heard it.
Very common mosque where the imam is praising Allah and he's saying Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Everyone's saying Ya Allah.
Not even just then, I've heard many people say it just behind other praises of Allah as well.
I don't know of anything like that.
Mm.
Allah alam, if that is just something from the general emotion of the people to call upon Allah, or if there is something established, I don't know about that saying Ya Allah like that. Allah alam.
Is it permissible to read the dua before the ruku or only after the ruku?
Witr mostly, from what's established, mostly it's supposed to be done after. But Allah alam, if there is something established to allow it before as well. Mostly it is done after from the narrations. But Allah alam, never again, maybe look into it if there is something established, or if there's some madahib where they have some evidences as well.
Some of the Hanafis, they pray witr and they pray too, and then they...
No, but their witr is all wrong anyway, how they pray.
Mm.
That method of praying witr is not a strong evidence at all. To pray it like the Maghrib prayer, basically. Where you pray two and then do the shahud and then you pray one more. It's either you pray two and give the salams and then you pray one by itself at the end, or you pray all three in one go.
Just one
rak'ah can be witr as well, just one.
Just one.
Just one can be witr.
No, before that,
two rakat. Yeah, one by itself can be witr. Yeah, it can be.
But if someone misses a salah deliberately, should he make up that prayer and repent, or is it just repentance?
The prayer, if he misses it on purpose, making it up, it will still not be accepted. The prayer will still not be accepted now if he misses it on purpose. He has to repent. No doubt he has to repent. Maybe the making up of the prayer, like similar to the one who goes to the magician, his prayer is not accepted for 40 days, but he still has to pray. So maybe he can still make that prayer and repent, but it's not accepted. It's not like him making up the prayer has now made up for the fact of what he did. If you miss a prayer on purpose, there is no qada for that. There is no such thing as qada when you miss a prayer on purpose.
It's similar to when people drink as well, like the prayer's not accepted for like 3 months.
So yeah, but you still got to pray, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you still have to pray. In that case, prayer is still wajib upon them. But in this case, if he deliberately misses a prayer, would it still be wajib upon them to pray? Even if it's
quiet? Not in the same way as that. In those other ones, it's clear. You've got to still pray.
Mm.
It's clear in those other instances. In this instance, because of the severity of what is being spoken about, a person purposely misses the prayer out of its time, there is no, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, there is no such thing as qada in that situation then. There is no qada. You missed it on purpose out of its time. How are you going to do qada now? Qada is if you overslept or something happened, or you can make it up. But if you purposely missed it, then you don't get any chance to then make it up now afterwards. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, there is no such thing as qada if you miss it on purpose. You know, you've committed a sin that you're held accountable upon. You need to repent. But then do you or should you still pray it anyway? That's something we can look into further. It's not the same as the alcohol and the magician where you have to pray. This one, Allah alam. They may say that you don't. It's just a pure repentance you have to make. And then you continue. Now the prayer out of its time is completely invalid anyway. Now you missed it on purpose. Allah alam. We can look into that further as well. Yeah, the witr prayer, there are lots of opinions in the books of fiqh. Most of them go down to the issue of it being at least sunnah mu'akkada. That it is not a prayer that you should miss. It is a sunnah mu'akkada, meaning heavily, heavily emphasized sunnah. The messenger never used to miss it. Al-Imam Ahmad said, somebody who misses the witr prayer, don't even take his word for when he gives a testimony about something. He's not a reliable witness. He doesn't even praise witr. The messenger never used to miss the witr.
Last question. The Prophet said at the end, it's permissible to add the dua onto it, but not to extend it all beyond what is like normally done. How long would you say is beyond what's...
It's not possible to put a figure on those things. A person might be a slow reciter. A person might be a fast reciter. You can't put an exact time on it, but everybody understands what something reasonable is. If your back starts hurting and your arms start hurting when you're standing up, as some brothers, they tell me. I've heard of imams doing witr dua in Ramadan, 40 minutes long.
Yeah, that's
happening. 40 minutes long. I don't think anyone's got any doubt about whether that's reasonable or not. That is not reasonable. That is not what the witr dua is about, 40 minutes long. You're going to be standing there making dua like that. That's not what it was legislated for. So you can add a little bit. But this dua now, how long does this take? Not even a minute. So you can add a little bit more to it. Maybe it goes on to a few minutes, but we're not talking 20 minutes long and 30 minutes long. And it's clearly going too far.
Is it permissible to recite the dua like how they recite the
Quran? This as well, the witr dua is not recited like the recitation of the Quran. This is another mistake that perhaps imams, they fall into when they do the witr dua, they recite it like they were reciting the Qur'an. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt wa afina. Like they're reciting Qur'an. You're not supposed to recite this dua like you're reciting Qur'an.
If you don't know the actual witr prayer, can you...
But this dua, it is supposed to be read in normal type of Arabic, not in the recitation of the Qur'an. What's your thing?
What's if you don't actually know the dua in it? Like, you know what I mean?
Then you can't read it.
Obviously, if I read it, can you
if you want to make it, obviously you start learning it.
Yeah,
and it is possible, it's permissible. If you had to, you could use it on a piece of paper in the witr dua, it is.
Yeah.
until you can learn it properly, just for that purpose of fulfilling the dua. What else?
Sheikh, a question is a little bit this year. I just want your opinion on this. Reading the prayer behind the brother of Imam of the Obadiah, you know both of them clearly about their everything, is it permissible?
It's not permissible. You cannot pray a prayer behind people who have extremely deviated aqidah. They believe Allah is everywhere. They believe in shafa'ah from the dead people. If people have aqidah like that, you cannot pray behind them. Extreme aqidah of that nature, you can't pray behind those kinds of people. They believe in shafa'ah from the dead. They believe in shafa'ah of the messenger. Now go to his grave and make dua to him. They believe in all these types of things. Aqidah, false aqidah in many affairs.
You reading the salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you join with them, right? And then whatever their aqidah, whatever things is with them here. Yeah. And they're reading the salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He's your imam. The hadith says, "Inna wa ju'ila al-imam li'tamma bih." The imam has been made for you to follow. So you're not by yourself, you're in the congregation behind him. It's not just what's up to them. You are in their congregation. You are being led by that imam. He is your imam in that prayer. Okay, but how are you praying your salah? When he says Allahu Akbar, you go into ruku'ah. When he says Sami' Allahu Liman, you go into standing up. When he says Allah, you're following him, you're under his orders. So your prayer is under his prayer. That's the whole point of the imam. Your prayer is under his prayer. That's the point of the imam and the jama'ah. Your prayer isn't independent. It's not just your prayer is your to you and him, whatever his belief is. Your prayer is under his prayer in the jama'ah. You're under his command. When he says Allahu Akbar, then you can go to ruku'ah. When he says Sami' Allahu, then you can stand up. When he says Allahu Akbar, you can go to... You're under his command. Your prayer is under his prayer. That's why it's not separate. You
so,
can't say...
So who give the opinion of this? It's permissible behind them, the salah. The reason is it? You're following them, but at that time, they're reading the salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're doing the salah. And you're doing your salah, basically.
No, but you're not doing your salah. Your salah is under their salah. Can you decide, okay, now he's still in ruku'ah, I'm going to say Sami Allah, I'm going to stand up and carry on. You can't. Your salah is under their salah. You're connected to the imam.
I think he might be saying that, you know, when the imam is doing the salah, he's not then committing shirk and stuff. He's worshipping Allah. Is that what you
mean? No, but it doesn't matter what it is. He's praying his prayer with his aqidah of still believing in shafa'ah of the dead, of believing in shafa'ah. His aqidah is with him in his prayer. It's not like his aqidah is separate now. And his prayer, he's a muwahid to Allah alone. He still believes in the shafa'ah of the dead as he's making his dua. He may even be making his own dua, asking for the shafa'ah of the messenger now in this world and all types of things. You cannot separate the two. His aqidah is his aqidah. The whole point of aqidah is aqid. It's in your heart. Whether you're in the prayer, outside of the prayer, your aqidah is with you wherever you go. And your prayer in the jama'ah, your prayer is under the prayer of the imam. It's not just separate. It's not just the imam, he's praying to Allah and you're praying to Allah. Yes, you are, but your prayer is under the authority of that imam's prayer. So your prayer is connected to the imam's prayer. That's why they say you can't do it. If the imam has that type of deviation in aqidah, you can't put yourself subservient under the prayer of somebody who's deviated like that and believes in the shafa'ah of the dead. You need to make your prayer pure and clean. Not be under the authority of a person leading you who believes in all types of things that could even be shirk.
So in the place where is no masjid or place like the people on Quran and Sunnah, yeah. So all those are the people are there. So if he can read the Salah of Jummah, how and then how other Salahs without Jummah, obviously others.
If there are only, like for example, extremely deviated individuals upon belief of graves and all those kinds of things, deviated like that. You can't pray behind them. You can't pray Jumu'ah with them. You can't pray other prayers behind them. You find something else. Jama'ah, you have to pray by yourself if you cannot find anything else. Jumu'ah, you have to go elsewhere. We cannot say there's nothing else. These are the only people. They go to the graves and they do all sorts. But it's the only mosque. I've got no choice. No, you have a choice. You cannot pray behind them. They, after the Jumu'ah prayer, go to the graveyard after that. And they do tawaf and they do sacrificing and do whatever else. You cannot pray people behind people who have that level of deviance and extremeness in aqidah.
If you enter a masjid where you're not sure, so should you search around or just...
Not necessarily. If you're going to a mosque, I mean, you can tell most of the time. They say if you see a mosque with certain types of signs, that makes it obvious. I walked into a mosque once and I saw big posters on the wall, Shafa'a Ya Rasulallah, and this and that and everything. Straight away you know. They got a big poster saying, Shafa'a, your Shafa'a, O Messenger, and this and that. Instead of, you know, it's a mosque for Allah, and they're calling upon the Messenger on the wall. Straight away you can tell when you see certain things. If there's nothing, it's a plain mosque, you can't really see anything, gives away anything, permissible to pray. You don't have to start investigating and do a full investigation to find out before you pray. It's a mosque, it's a mosque, you can pray otherwise. But the obvious, if you see something obvious like that, and it makes it clear, then you don't pray in that, or in the jama'ah.
We'll find out later on, because sometimes you can look up the masjid afterwards, and if you just happen to look up, you find out they are.
I don't believe it's upon you to have to repeat those prayers now then.
It just happened, yeah. For the Salah, yeah, I seen the Beshtis, they were there, yeah.
What happened?
Beshtis, they were.
Huh?
Right, then I realized that it's not that. So we got our first time at the Salah in that place, yeah. I don't want to mention it here. So that's a good thing to ask the question. So that's mean then you don't have to repeat the Salah.
No, inshallah, you don't have to repeat prayers that have gone there now. Okay. But after that, you don't pray when you
that
see.
That happened when you asked, yeah. I just want to find out.
Mm-hmm. So if someone has a major impurity and he needs to make ghusl, but he has a wound and it's very painful, then how do they, and he needs to be covered, how do they make ghusl?
They could make ghusl on the rest of their body. Let's say their wound is in their arm, for example. Big cut, big wound, you can't get water onto that. If they can get water onto the rest of their body, they can do ghusl on the rest of the body. And because of that one wound, that one limb that they couldn't get water on, you make tayammum at the end as well. But if the wound was, for example, you know, everywhere, you can't get water on yourself anyway, it's going to get onto the wound, then you just have to make the imam then.
Based on that question, when like you're outside somewhere in the clothes and impurity, there's no water, so it's best to delay the play or play on time?
You have to pray on time. If you're outside, you got some impurity on your clothes, there's nothing to change them with, you can't get rid of that garment with the impurity on it. If you're stuck, then you still pray within the time. The time is the highest condition of the prayer. From all the conditions of the prayer, the time is the highest. That gets priority over all the others. All right, next week then, inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue straight after Maghrib. Next week, Maghrib is going to be like 8:15 or something. So we'll try and start straight after Maghrib, inshallah.